Hello everyone, welcome back to episode 7 now of In and Out Kabaddi. Of course, it's Pro Kabaddi League Season 5, another hectic week of the league. And we've had 10 games since we last podded, Sahel. It's been a nail-biting close week as the action with the Interzone Challenge proved its worth, I'd say. That obviously finished on the 20th of August, and we're currently back to, I think harsh to say, dull and boring zonal play, but you know what I mean. Sahel, how has the week progressed for you?
Yeah, I just learned a new word, podded. I like that, Dan. Yep. That's one thing I learned today. But yeah, I mean, it's been a really interesting week moving into the whole Lucknow leg. And it's sort of, in some ways, been a repeat of the Telugu Titans Hyderabad leg, because the UP Yodha can't seem to find a way to win on home soil. And it's been a disappointing league phase for them. And, you know, I think they're going to have to try and bounce back, because they're a better side than they've shown us in their home leg.
So before we look at their week, let's look at sort of how the leg has gone, you know, as a host venue. We always try and look at the city and look at the host venue. What's your view been on Lucknow as a place to host Kabaddi?
Well, we've been here together before at the Hockey League, and, you know, that was a lot of fun because of the food. And it's similar here with the Kabaddi. You know, the food's great. It's a fantastic place to come in for that. The crowds have been pretty good, actually, to see them take to their first foray into Kabaddi. But what's been more amazing is the fact that even though their home side has been losing night after night, we still had the crowds come in, which is encouraging for this region, which isn't really a hotbed of Kabaddi at all in India either. So, you know, that's a big plus for the state of UP. And, you know, I think they are a pretty decent side. They just need to sort of find a way to actually carry the same form that they had before they came into their home bed.
I remember Lucknow well. I remember sitting doing a hockey game with you on, it can't have been Independence Day, it must have been Republic Day or something, when you were sat in your India shirt all day.
Yeah, I remember that one, actually. I remember that very clearly. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I think as a city, you've got just great kebabs and fantastic food. The Tundida kebabs are the most famous ones here, and they're just the food. I mean, I'm a complete foodie, so I know that's where I tilt, and then ensure I try and get a few swims in and a few gym sessions in to try and combat it. Not that that's going very well.
So the UP results, as you alluded to, it's been a fairly heavy week for them. Just 7 points from a home leg so far. Of course, one game left to come. Against Telugu Titans, so, you know, they must fancy their chances there. But losses against Human Bar, Haryana, JPP, Bengal, and then a draw against the Tamils. It's just been a horrible week for UP.
Yeah, it's been a pretty woeful week, really. And then, you know, those are games they should have won. They should have beaten Human Bar, they should have beaten the Jaipur Pink Panthers, they should have beaten the Tamil Talaivas, you know, and they've come away with narrow losses, or a tie versus obviously the Tamil Talaivas last night. But, you know, they come away with these narrow losses where they were in winning situations, even versus the Bengal Warriors. They were in a pretty good situation and then threw the game away. So, you know, they don't seem to know how to close out the match, which is partly also down to the coaching staff, where the instructions coming in are to keep the game within 1 or 2 points rather than break away. And when you've got the likes of Rishank Devadiga and Nitin Tomar, you want the explosivity to come into play and actually have them break away from the opposition. And when you tell them not to do that, they're sort of playing against the grain, and that's not working for them so far.
And of course, four of the games separated by no more than 4 points. Watching the UP-JPP game, that obviously a very low-scoring match, JPP winning by two. Do you think it was fair that JPP just got the defence right against the likes of Nitin Tomar to sort of strangle him, which obviously takes a lot away from UP?
No, I think they just strangled themselves, actually. And I mean, it was one of the poorest games of Kabaddi I've watched, sadly, and actually commentated on, because, you know, the UP Yodha just didn't have any positive intent. They came out looking so ordinary. And then the coach was constantly telling Nitin, don't listen to the other players, listen to me, keep the game within one, keep the game within two, play on just the bonus points and the do-or-die raids. And when you're telling your star raider, who they spend 93 lakh rupees on, to do that, it doesn't make sense at all. And, you know, I think it just got worse and worse from there. And I kept saying on comms as well that if you leave the game hanging in the balance by 1 or 2 points, it plays into Jaipur's hands. And that's exactly what happened at the end. Jaipur picked them by two.
So they got Telugu to finish off the home leg before we go along to Mumbai. And we'll have a long discussion about Mumbai later on. What do UP do differently? How do they manage to get, you know, the one win from the home leg against Telugu? Because Telugu, the problem with Telugu is you just do not know what you're going to get with them.
Yeah, they've beaten them twice already in this edition of the league. So, you know, they need to come out firing. When they come out and they take the game by the scruff of the neck in the first half, they look really good. When they come out firing with positivity in the first half, they look incredibly good. But they can't afford to go into a shell and play on the do-or-die raids, and that's what they've been doing. You have to play with more positivity, with more just vigor and explosivity when you've got the likes of Rishank Divadika, Rajesh Narwal, Jeeva Kumar, and, of course, Nitin Tomer there. I mean, they can't afford to play on the do-or-die raids when there's points there for the taking.
We mentioned that their last match before today was against the Tamil Tulivas. The Tulivas miss a win again. AJ Tacker must literally be going grey or pulling his hair out or both at the same time. They're currently bottom of Zone A. They're not adrift. But what can they do over the next month before they get home to Chennai and obviously have that run of home games? What can the Tulivas do not only to get the wins but really start build their confidence? Because at the moment the confidence must be fairly low because they're getting close but they're never just pipping the other teams.
Well, again, it's the inexperience to close out matches. And I think the amazing part of this side is that every time they come into the second half, they look like a completely different outfit. They are the superstars of the second half. And, you know, they need to come into matches treating the first 20 minutes like they do in the second 20, because suddenly the intensity seems to kick in. But by then, it's often too late and, you know, you're sort of behind the eight ball already. So I think they have to change their approach and come in into the first 20 minutes of the encounter just as they would after the break. And I don't know what Coach Bhaskaran keeps telling them at the break, but it seems to always work. And then they falter in the final few minutes. And it's funny, it's you know, it's a team which is coached to perfection. But the players are just coming in with the most silly, mind-boggling errors at the very end and gifting points away to the opposition. And in that vein, gifting games away to the opposition.
Now, I've got a feeling that you're saying about not turning up in the first half, like you were saying about the Tamils, there is going to be our next topic of conversation. Moving on to that match, the biggest match of the week and probably the biggest match of the competition so far, Patna versus Puneri Pultan. We discussed it at length in the last podcast. It didn't disappoint. Puneri Pultan won a high-scoring encounter, but the first half was almost bizarre for the way Patna just failed to show up.
Well, it was a case of them having perfect plans for Pradeep Agarwal. They figured out the perfect ploy where they used one cover defender, the Bangladeshi Ziaur Rahman, to actually pounce at him first, and then they had a second line of defense behind him. So they watched and waited while he got past that man, and then they'd have a second line of defense to trap him. So it was brilliantly executed by the Puneri Pultan, the highest scoring game we've had all season, 89 points in total in that encounter. And Pradeep Narwal, even after being found out, scored 19 points in that game. So that was ridiculous from that man, who just gets better and better. But Pune do look the overall better side. And that's what I said earlier as well. I think, you know, they look one of the best sides of the lot, apart from Gujarat. And, you know, I see them going pretty deep in this competition.
And it almost showed with Patna coming up against, you know, as good a team or on paper as good a team. Kind of what we spoke about in the preview pod right at the start was, would Pardeep have enough behind him in support to help him out? We thought Monu Goyat had done very well and, you know, he was coming to the fore. But suddenly, like you said there was just a lack of backup quality for Patna, which Puneri Pultan had throughout. I mean, they just spread their points perfectly and they attacked and defended right across the board, which shows the quality difference between the two squads.
Yeah, I think they have a more complete squad, the Puneri Pultan. They've got really good bench strength. They've got actually their starting seven. They don't have too much bench strength. But their starting seven is the perfect blend of experience and a bit of youth as well involved. But the experience is in the right side of things, which is the defense. And that's where it counts. So, you know, they've got that very sorted. And therefore, when they come in with certain plans, the execution is there because these men have done it time and time again before. And they carry years of experience on court. So I think that was a big one. But of course, then they went and lost by some margin to the Gujarat Fortune Giants by 14 points. And, you know, that was a schooling at the hands of Gujarat. And obviously, again, Fazal Atochali and Abozer Meghani combining beautifully and the rest of the defense all chipping in. So clearly, Gujarat looks like the side to beat at this point.
I think Faisal's been listening to us criticising him for missing one tackle last week, and he went 90% of tackle success for the game, which is, you know, purely phenomenal against a team like Paneri Poltan. Was it a case of, you know, a day's hangover from the Patna game for Poltan? Obviously, the Fortune Giants played superbly, but we've mentioned intensity of the league.
Yeah, absolutely. But also, I think there was a lack of planning from them. You know, when we saw, I talked about how there was so much planning to keep Paldeep Narwal down. They didn't have the same intensity of planning when they came to this encounter, and they forgot to have plans to in terms of how to score points from the Raider perspective. They had plans from a defense side of things, but the Raiders just didn't show up on the night, and it wasn't, you know, it didn't make a good viewing for any of their fans.
The trend seems to be this season that and Gujarat are a good example, and we said a second ago that Paneri Poltan do exactly that. Almost the teams that don't have those standout stars that play as a collective and pick up points as a collective seem to be the more successful ones. And Gujarat did exactly, almost to Paneri Poltan, what they had done the night before, which, you know, it's interesting to see, because some seasons we've seen the likes of Pardeep carry Patna to titles. Obviously, I think they probably had a stronger squad anyway at that point. But the sort of overall, the overall squad sort of sharing of talent seems to be standing up against a one-off star at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a team at Gujarat that's sort of chipping in from all sides. They've got the young cover combination of Sunil Kumar and Parvesh Benswal that have actually been the best of the bunch, because they've actually supported Abozar and Fazal Attachali perfectly, and that's been the difference for this side. So, you know, I think they're coming together nicely as one big unit. The Raiders are now clicking and finding their feet, which is a big plus for them. So, you know, overall, they perhaps look like the most lethal side so far.
And it's interesting, of course, that win for Gujarat means that even if Paneri Poltan win their four games in hand that they have over Gujarat, they would only be able to go alongside them. So it is an interesting result, that Fortune Giant result, and they do seem to be absolutely flying. Haryana are a team we really haven't looked into a whole heap this year. We mentioned their win against UP this week. They backed it up with a solid win against Delhi, a very sort of defensive North Indian derby, that one. Surjit Singh and Deepak doing the raid damage for Haryana. They currently sit second in Zone A, almost. I'm sort of sat there going, how's that happen with their home leg coming up in Sonipat soon? Is that how to say it? Sonipat, is that right?
Yeah, Sonipat. Come on.
Sonipat. Oh, sorry, my Indian accent has gone downhill recently.
When you go deeper in, Dan, you need to work on that. You need to get that going. Sonipat.
And it's like when you ask for butter. And are they the dark... to me, they seem like the dark horses of Zone A, though, Haryana. They're almost going about their business very, very quietly, but picking up points.
Well, I think what they've got going is obviously, again, the two corners. They've got that experienced duo of Surendra Nara and Mohit Chilla. Surjit is one of the top raiders in the league, actually, and to see him come together nicely with that defensive unit is great to watch. They've got a couple of youngsters. One in particular, Vikas Kandola, is very, very impressive. And I think that's why they look like a pretty good unit overall. I think they've got a couple of concerns in the middle of the defense, but no massive concerns, really. And the corners are holding their own. Surendra Nara has been absolutely brilliant. So, you know, they have done enough to earn that spot. But can they continue in that form? You know, they don't have too much bench strength, so they'll have to rely on these same guys firing night after night.
But I still think that's going to be an issue for all teams.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, to a large extent, it will be. But that's where the teams with the greater depth, the guys who... just carry a bit more experience and know how to pace themselves and not throw everything into every game. That's where that comes into the picture and into play. And, you know, that's where we'll see things shaping up. But the home leg for any team is always going to be the big one. And I think that's where each side has to realize that they have to have their best for that part of it.
And for Haryana, that isn't too far away, the home leg. Injury-wise, whilst we're sort of looking at that side of things, who's hobbling, who's limping, who's got bandages all over themselves, who haven't you seen this week?
Well, I think the physios have the biggest job on the planet in this sport, because every single person is taped up from head to toe. They literally have their shoulders to their calves to everything else just completely taped up and strapped up. So... it's quite funny just to see how much goes into it. But, you know, at the end of the day, it is required. It's quite a physical sport. And there's a few similar injuries. Manjeet Chhillo seemingly still out, but also Selvamani out, I hear, for the entire tournament. And that's a big blow for the Jaipur Pink Panthers.
Do you think that the... I mean, we heard it with your voice in week one, but do you think that the tournament will revert away from this three-month structure back to sort of the six-week structure it was before, because purely the level of hits the players are taking is... It seems to me over a three... You know, a football league over 3 months is different, but a Kabaddi league just seems to almost be looking like it's too much.
Well, the only thing is that you've got enough of a break between games apart from your home leg, and I think that's a good sign. But look, it is intense, and I think these guys are professionals. But let's remember, before the Pro Kabaddi League began, they were playing two or three games a day in the nationals. So, you know, these guys are used to it. They're used to actually a much more intense level of competition. Yes, the mat is a little different to the mud, and I think the mud gives them a bit more response out of it. But, you know, barring that, they're actually pretty happy with the way things are going. I think... you know, it will start to tell later in the tournament, but apart from your home leg, you do have a bit of a breather between games, and I think that's where it's vital to keep yourself really fit and ready to go for the home leg, barring anything else, and I think that's where the majority of the points come in.
I've got my pink shirt on order, my JPP shirt, because finally Jasveer and the boys have won two in a row in 2017, but I was almost, you know, going to really, really make a fuss about that, and then kind of went back through all their stats and was like, well, they are 75% win percentage for the competition. They've only played four games so far. It seems bizarre that they can have played so few times. But in the end, we mentioned their game against UP earlier, a really good week for JPP as they got a win against the Bulls as well.
Well, I was a bit amazed, really, with the two wins coming for Jaipur, more so in the game versus the UP Yodha, because... they didn't really win it. They were handed it on a platter by the UP Yodha without Manjeet Chhillo and Selvamani on court. That's a really depleted-looking Jaipur Pink Panthers, but they're seeming to find a way against the tide to keep winning. And, you know, kudos to Jasveer and the men there. Jasveer picked up a handful of points. The defense came good, and a very, very, very young side picks up a win versus the UP Yodha, and that should give them plenty of confidence going forward.
Manjeet, obviously, you mentioned, played superbly against the Bengaluru Bulls, got 9 points, I believe. What happened to him? Why was he out against UP? I'm guessing it was an injury.
Yeah, look, he was playing with the niggle in that game. He still was outstanding on the night. He was a man responsible for giving them that win versus the Bengaluru Bulls. But there's only so much one man can do. And from then on, it became difficult to just sustain that. It was right that he took some time off and hopefully will be back at some point for that side, because they really do need him.
And it totally backs up and vindicates your comment earlier about how teams manage the squad and the points they pick up when they're managing the squad. And managing the squad for JP, they managed to still pick up 5 points without a star player. That, you know, speaks volumes for how their coach is running things. So, moving on to our next venue, and it's your adopted home city, City of Mumbai, the maximum city. For those that have never been, Sahel, talk us through this enthralling, insane mix of a city.
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. It's an enthralling mix of so many things, whether it's business, culture, sport. It's got so much. And at the same time, it's just the pace of the city is quite incredible. It's just constantly in your face in some ways, and there's no escaping it. But it's that energy that just grows on you. There's this energy through the city that is quite incredible. And yeah, it's been my home now for 3 years, and it's started to grow on me as well.
And Mrs. Chandak will be glad to have you home for a bit and a chance to wash the underpants as well.
Yeah, except when you call her that, Dan. She hasn't changed her last name. I don't think she's going to do it in Lahari either. But yeah,
I did wonder that the other day, to be fair.
Yeah, I don't think I'm getting that second part of it either. But yeah, it's nice to sleep in your own bed. It's good to have a few home-cooked meals. And, you know, I think more than anything, it's just a familiarity of being home again. And it's a long league, and those are the few days you really want.
We've spoken about some pretty horrendous home legs up till now. For you, Mumba, this is, well, just such a vital leg for them, because it has been a difficult season, an up-and-down season so far, but a chance to really, you know, put things right, get themselves on form and play themselves back into the competition.
Yeah, it's been a really topsy-turvy campaign so far for you, Mumbai. And you know, they're just lacking a settled starting seven. They've made a few changes, they haven't worked, and they keep changing it back. And it's looked all over the shop in some senses. So they better hope that when they come into game one versus Jaipur tomorrow, that they actually have their starting seven firmed up, because that's going to be a key fixture for them if they want some consistency through the home leg. They've generally had a very good record at home, but it's crunch time for them, because 6 days is a lot of time for things to either go right or go completely wrong, as we've seen it in the past. But it's a good opportunity, but one that they'll want to try and take with both hands pretty quickly.
And of course, JPP twice in a week. There's a Maharashtra derby that adds extra pressure as Umumba take on Puneri Pultan. That's on Saturday. Who for Umumba do you think are going to be the standout players this week? You said about settling on a starting seven, but who do you think within that starting seven are going to be the guys that are really going to get them the 5 points and the wins?
I think Surinder Singh on the right corner is a young special talent. Looks a little brash at times, but you know, he's been really brilliant for them with those diving ankle holds on the right corner. Shabir Bapu has found some form, and I think that's very important coming into this home leg. That's a huge, huge one for them coming in. Kashiling Anke needs to find form, and if he was to ever perform, he'd want to do it here in Mumbai, being a man from Maharashtra. So, you know, I'm keen to watch the progression of Kashiling Anke, but, you know, Kuldeep Singh has had a poor campaign so far, and in the cover region, he'll have to support Surinder. So, you know, I think that's going to be the important part, while Anup Kumar just continues to be Mr. Consistent for the side.
And away from the hosts, which other games stand out for you, and which other teams should we look out for this week?
But I think there's a few really good games coming up anyway. And, you know, while every night sees the home side playing, there's a few key ones. The Bengal versus Patna fixture should be a good one. But then I think the Maharashtra derby obviously is one that I like to highlight always, because there's so much intensity there. But I think the one that we saw that went the distance the first time they met was Haryana versus Umumba. They had their old two corners in Mohit Chilla and Surinder Nada up there for the Haryana Steelers, and that should be a great encounter. And I think they play Jaipur twice, so that makes for interesting viewing. But also, one more match that I really want to watch is the leg going forward after that as well, which has Gujarat facing Haryana later in Kolkata. But you know, the Mumbai leg has some interesting ones. Most of the good games and most of the tough games are for the Umumba squad, and they've got some really tough opposition in the form of Gujarat, Haryana, but also guys like the Puneri Pultan. So that's not going to be an easy home leg at all.
A couple of fantastic cities for the home legs coming up. Mumbai followed by Kolkata, two real heavyweights of Indian cities. Now, crowd-wise in Mumbai, we can always expect a decent crowd in Mumbai because they love their sport. We've seen that on IPL and other things. And always quite vociferous, always quite loud and bolshy. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, and then pretty loyal to their home side as well. And I think that's something you'll see over the next 6 days here. It's a great sort of atmosphere in this stadium. It's a fantastic place to watch kabaddi, and you know, it is the hotbed of kabaddi in many ways, Maharashtra. So expect to see some really good crowds come in, and there will be plenty of people who are gearing up to watch their home side, Umumba.
Obviously, Sahel, you're a superstar in your own right in India now, but with it being Mumbai, which superstars and celebrities can we expect to spot the NSCI?
Well, I don't know who you wouldn't see, because I think everyone turns up to watch kabaddi, and you know, it's just been such an interesting turn of events over the last 3 years. It's just you know, taken off. It's really come through so massively in this city, which is an urban city, but to see the old rural game of kabaddi relight itself and come alive has been amazing. So expect everyone from the world of film and business as well to be there, and you know, come out watching it in fine colours, because the first match is going to be Umumba versus Jaipur, and that's got the stars on either side. So, you know, there's going to be a fair few of them in the house.
So, your team of the week, who are you calling as the best team this week, Sahil?
I think I'm going to have to stick with the Gujarat Fortune Giants. I mean, UP have been woeful, but, you know, Gujarat came out and absolutely hammered the Puneri Pultan, and for me, that was the performance of the week.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. See, I was torn. I had down Gujarat / and you're going to kill me for being biased here, JPP not necessarily for their performances, but the fact
actually,
they've gone back to back.
I'm going to say JPP as well. Forget I said Gujarat. I'm going to go with JPP on this one because, yeah, you're right. I mean, the two wins, you know, which weren't expected by most, including me, was phenomenal, really, from them. Without Manjeet Chhillan in the second one and without, obviously, Selvam Mani leading them in the first.
It's about grinding out the wins sometimes, isn't it? The player of the week, is it Mr. Faisal Achachali for his phenomenal tackling 90%, or have you looked elsewhere on that one?
Yeah, Faisal for sure is up there. Justin Singh for me has actually been a standout as well, which I did not expect to say at any point in this season. But yeah, Faisal has been outstanding to watch.
Now, time for an in and out of, just before we end things for episode 7 of In and Out Kabaddi. And today, I think you could probably go a lot more than 30 seconds on this one, but it's an in and out of the Kabaddi coach.
Oh, where do I start with this? I mean, it is such an integral part of the sport. And if you thought that this was only a sport played out of brute force, that's completely, completely wrong, because the coach has such an integral role to play. It's such a massive game in terms of how it's played between the years. Yeah, and some of the coaches, including Coach Bhaskaran for the Tamil Talaivas, you know, are quite special. But, you know, this is where you need your players to go well too. The coach can only do so much from the sidelines. But look, the entire game can be coached through every moment. And if you've got a captain that's as good as a coach on court, it makes the biggest difference. So I think when you look at the role of the coach, it comes into every raid, every defensive effort to monitor what your team is doing. And when you see the different characters out there, it sort of sees a reflection of that on court. You've got Coach Bhaskaran at Umumba as well with Coach Ravi Shetty. That's been a successful duo for them in the past. Coach Bhaskaran, again, for the Tamil Talaivas, is a really good one. Coach Uday Kumar has been in a negative mindset for the UP Yodha. We've seen that. And we've seen what that has done to the side there. But, you know, the role of the coach essentially comes in to the sessions before each game. It's a training session. It's how they train. And what goes on there is a direct reflection of how the team turns out on the night.
We are, of course, on Audio Boom. You can check us out on our new partners, Audio Boom. Also on iTunes at In and Out Kabaddi, or search for the podcast at www.inandoutkabaddi.com. Sahel, as ever, is at Sahel Chanduk on Instagram, Twitter. We're at In and Out Kabaddi on Twitter and Instagram, and I'm at Dan Strange TV on there, so you can ask your questions, get in touch with any comments. We've had some really positive comments on Audio Boom this week, Sahel.
Yeah, it's been a really nice association so far. It's still a new one for us, but you know, it's a portal that I think everyone needs to have a look at, because there's so much that's going on Audio Boom, and it's really nice to be associated with them.
We'll be sprinting back to you later on this week with plenty more. See you soon.
See you soon.